This is that great faith chapter, that great book, great chapter of the Bible that has been called the Great Wall of Faith. And this faith chapter dealing with the great things that can be and have been done by faith. But I want us to take just one particular phrase, and we're going to just try to reach down and pick it up and pull it out this morning and look at it. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll read together just verse number 5. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. This is not this morning a study of the life of Enoch. If it were, it would probably be a very short sermon because we don't really know a lot about the life of Enoch. Rather, I'd like to take this little phrase that is found at the end of this verse and apply it not only to his life and learn a little bit from him, but also ask a question about ourselves. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 5, the closing of this says that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And this morning, for a little while together, let's give thought to this subject. Guard your testimony. Guard your testimony. Enoch had this testimony. What was it? His testimony was that he pleased God. It was a testimony that he lived by, and you might would say that he died by it, but rather the Scripture just tells us that he was translated and was not. So Enoch had a testimony. He lived that testimony, and he was taken to glory by that testimony. And so that begs the question that we may try and ask ourselves. Do we as well have a testimony? Does our testimony please God like his did? And do we live a lifestyle that is clear in a plain passage or a plain statement that we are what we say we are? This is one of those practical messages that is hard to hear, but it's also hard to preach. It's tough to look at this because when we look at this, we must examine ourselves. And I trust that the Spirit of God would speak to each of us today as we give thought to this. Guard your testimony. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by your testimony? The word as it is given to us in the Greek means that there is some evidence given, something evidential, or also to be a witness or to testify. Your deeds, your words, your actions help or hinder you from freely being able to tell others about the saving grace of God. Your testimony is the open lifestyle that you live before the world. And not only before the world, but also before fellow saints. Does your life bear evidence of what God has done in you? Is there something evidential? Or does your life give evidence, or does it witness or testify to the saving grace of God Almighty? Is your overall conversation, and by that we understand the word to mean our lifestyle, is your overall conversation such as which when people see you, they see something different about you? Is there in your life some sin or some addiction that is hindering or harming your testimony? Then by God's grace, we must try and guard against it, war against it, and overcome it that our testimony may be one that pleases God. What's your testimony? Enoch had one. It is said throughout eternity in the Holy Word of God that Enoch had this testimony. What's yours? What's mine? One of the saddest days in the life of any child of God is a day when we damage or hinder our testimony. Some of the saddest days then I can just pick on me this morning. Some of the saddest days in my Christian life have been days in which I have done something that brought a great hindrance to or an injury to my testimony. There's no born-again believer who has not known a day or an event just like this. This is a battle in which every child of God fights. It is a battle with which every one of us are familiar with. I can look back over my life, and I can see days, and I can see people with whom I have ruined. And that ruin is a strong word, but sometimes that's the only word that fits. In which I have injured, if not ruined, my testimony. If I ask you to look back over your life, could you name a person with whom you've hurt, damaged, or even ruined your own testimony? What about one day in particular? Oh, a day that you wish so much that you could take back. A day which you know even at this hour that it hindered and hurt your testimony. None of us are perfect. Every one of us will get caught at some point saying something or doing something that's going to hinder our witness for Christ. It's going to happen. It is inevitable as long as we live in this flesh. It's going to happen. You cannot live above sin. You will fail. But praise God, failure is not final. We'll get to it. But the beautiful thing is that a testimony can often be rebuilt, redone. Every one of us is going to lose our temper. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to say something we wish we hadn't said. We're going to do something we wish we hadn't done. But in the end, do we find repentance and try to make right the harm that we've done? I might cite yesterday, I went to work, I carried mail, got done with my route, I had to go back out and help carry another route. I got done with that, came back in, and was getting ready to walk out the door and leave to go home, and the supervisor said to me, "No, you can't leave, you have to go back out again and carry a part of another route." And I suppose that maybe that wouldn't bother you, but it bothered me. And I would like to say that I handled it in every way that a child of God should, but I didn't. Because sometimes the world and the events of this life is going to push our buttons. That's just all there is to it. I walked out the door. And as I walked out the door, I was singing, "Praise God, praise God." But in my heart, I was kicking and screaming the whole time. And the truth is, God knows. I said more than I should have, but I'll say this. I didn't say as much as I wanted to. But little events like this, and the truth is, in the scale of a lifetime, that's just a little thing, isn't it? Having to sacrifice another hour or something. In the scale of a life, that's just a little thing. But a lot of times it's these little things like these that hurt us in a big way that in turn can cause us to turn around and hurt and hinder our testimony in a big way. We ought to guard our testimony as we would guard over something that is very precious to us. Your testimony is irreplaceable. Now, I want that to just sit a minute, and I want you to think about it. It's irreplaceable. You've only got one. You only have one testimony. With that in mind, every saint should guard against his or her testimony as if we were looking over our own castle. I could not help but to think as I looked at this that, oh, what brilliant soldiers that the fruit of the Spirit make. As we guard our testimony, and I suppose the picture I would have in mind for you is that your testimony is held deep within the walls of a castle. And as you stand over the walls of that castle guarding your testimony, if you look to your left and you look to your right, I would have you to see that standing there with you is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, goodness, temperance, meekness. These things are wonderful soldiers, wonderful attributes that will help you guard your testimony. Think about this in the midst of life's turmoil. When circumstances are turned upside down and the world is coming out against you, they are attacking your castle. You are under attack. Lean upon the fruit of the Spirit because it'll aid you in the battle. Yesterday, as they sent me back out for a third time, that fruit of the Spirit, temperance, would have been one that would have been a greater help to me had I exercised that fruit. Long suffering, joy, meekness, gentleness. These are the things that will help us to guard our testimony. So when life comes against you, and as a matter of fact, when the old flesh, who does not care one bit about your testimony, when it comes against you, use these God-given things to help guard your testimony. You need to watch over, not day by day, but moment by moment, minute by minute, guard your testimony. It will be under attack. The old flesh doesn't care about it. It only cares about being pampered and catered to. The world doesn't care about your testimony. In fact, many people within the world will do everything they can to, quote, push your buttons to try to get you to ruin your testimony. And then for certain, Satan and his wicked warriors focus a great deal of their attention on laying siege to your testimony. One of the devil's favorite foods is the testimony of the saints. How that old lion loves, as a roaring lion, loves to devour the testimony of the saints. We may cite Bible example after example of men and women who injured, if not ruined, their testimony and were never the same because they failed to guard against the wiles of the devil. Our testimony must be cared for, guarded over, not just day by day, but moment by moment. Why? One, because it's fragile. Your testimony is fragile. Just like fine china, your testimony should be handled like something that's very fragile. Too many of God's saints throw it around without ever considering just how easily that it can be broken. Yes or no? A testimony can be years in the building and seconds in the breaking. Isn't that true? How many folks have you known, in particular, if I said how many folks have you worked with down through the years, that you worked day in and day out, and tried to live a holy and righteous life, tried to be a good witness, a good example of Christ before them, and then an event comes up, a circumstance comes up, and an uncautious word, an unguarded word slips out, and what you have spent years in the building takes just seconds in the breaking. Trust and testimonies are two things that are easily broken and hardly repaired. How can we harm this fragile testimony? Number one, and most frequently, I say, by getting into sin. A wicked lifestyle is one of the most obvious ways that we hurt our testimony. But it's also one of the most frequent means by which God's children succumb to guard their testimony. We don't think of it this way. But listen to me just a moment. We trade our testimony in for something else that at that moment seems to be more desirous than our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. It doesn't seem like it, but if we take a hard look at it, at that very moment, we care more about that particular thing, and if it be a sin, when we yield to it, it means more to us at that moment than does our testimony or our witness. That does not mean that God, the Holy Spirit, will not prick our hearts and convict us afterwards, because He does. But at the moment when sin and temptation lies at the door, when we yield to that, that particular sin or temptation means more to us than even our own testimony. And that's just a moment of weakness. But that's a moment that everybody in this room is going to face and has faced and will continue to face as long as you're here. Try and witness to someone whom you've been gossiping about at work. Try and tell someone about Jesus to whom you've not paid a debt to. To that person, and I'll pick on me again because it's safe. To that person that got your order wrong in the drive-thru, try and say to them, "Lord bless you," after you've just bitten their head off. Let someone see that "I love Jesus" bumper sticker on your car when you've tailgated them for 5 miles and then zipped past them at 50 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now, I told you this is a practical message. Witness to that person that knows you well enough to take things that don't belong to you. When we succumb to sin, we hurt and hinder our testimony. And I'm telling you, we need to guard our testimony. Look at the life of Lot. You know, when you run with the world and you live like the world, it's awfully hard to rebuke the world for their actions. Lot went into Sodom and he got so deep into sin that when he called those angels who were trying to break into his home to stand back, that they didn't have any right to do this, they said unto him, "You came here to live with us, and now you try to make yourself a judge over us. Why, you've been one of us. Who do you think you are now to try to tell us what's wrong?" Or even when the angels of God delivered the warning to Lot and said to him, "Get your family and get out of here," his testimony was so injured, it was so hurt, so ruined, that when he went to his sons-in-law to tell them about what was going to happen, that he seemed to them as one that mocked. That's Genesis 19, verse 4. He warned them, God's going to pour out His fury. God's going to judge this city because of sin. Get out of here! And they did not take him at his word because he had so hurt and hindered and ruined his testimony that it meant nothing to them. You say, how could that ever happen to a child of God? It can happen by not guarding your testimony. By doing like the prodigal and getting away from God and into the world and in sin. You can ruin your testimony so that when you try and tell others about how good God is, you seem like one that mocks. Is there enough difference in our lifestyle that when we try and tell the world that the Bible says that's wrong, that we would seem unto them as one that had no right to rebuke? Old David got neck deep in sin, and because of his sin, Nathan said that he had given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. But David's not the one and only person that's ever happened to. David did great harm to his witness, to his testimony. And when we fight against sin, when we war against temptation, do we consider for a moment, could we consider for a moment, that the decisions that we make and a failure to properly guard our testimony can have eternal harm to those that are around us? And not just us, it will affect others around us. But often thoughts like that are hard to come by at a moment of weakness. We hinder or hurt our fragile testimony by not obeying rules and laws. How many people, and I mean God's people, have injured their testimony over the smallest of things? Like taking something that they did not pay for. I heard an old preacher, he was telling a story. Said he went up to the counter, I don't know, his little local restaurant, went up to the counter and said, "I want water to drink." So they gave him his cup, and it was like a lot of restaurants today that have their own fountain machine where you can get your own drink. And he told the little lady there, he said, "I want water." Of course, they gave him a cup, didn't charge him anything, which is pretty rare anymore. You about have to pay for water anymore when you go. But they gave him a cup. And he'd tell you by his own testimony, he said, "When I walked over there," he said, "I saw that fountain machine." And he said, "You know, that soda or pop was looking pretty good." But he said, "I didn't do it." He said, "I just got water." And the preacher said, before he got his little condiments and his napkins and these things up, said, the lady behind the counter walked over and said, "I was watching you, preacher. I was watching you to see what you'd do." Now, how many of God's saints would hurt or hinder their testimony over something that small? But we do stuff like that, don't we? We think nobody will notice, nobody will care, but the world will watch. Is something so small and so insignificant worth our testimony? Had the preacher made the wrong choice and gotten whatever else, could he have been a good and accurate and faithful witness to turn around and tell that same lady who was watching him about Christ? It would have hindered him. And I submit to you that the day in and day out things that we do can be a help or a hindrance to our testimony. What silly and foolish things God's people will often trade their testimony in for. They ignore things, rules and laws of this land. Take things that they do not belong to them. Borrow things that never get returned. All of these and a numberless others are ways in which we can hurt or help our testimony. How many of you know men or women that claim to be a Christian who in the workplace are about as sorry can get? Now, I'll get right down where we live with this, and here's a man with us today that has known me and known my lifestyle for many years. And it's probably, no, it's not probably, it's definitely not what it's always should have been. I know that. But I work with a couple of men right now, both of which claim to be Christians, and one of which says he's a preacher, who I've never seen somebody try so hard to do so little. And I'm going to tell you, your work ethic can hurt or help your testimony. Now, that gets right down there where we live, but it's the truth. I read over here in this book that it says, whatsoever we do, we need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Does your work ethic hinder your testimony? Do people know that you are a hard worker committed to doing what's right? Or is your work ethic a running joke around the office? You cannot effectively witness for the Lord Jesus Christ when your public life is an embarrassment. There was a time, it's not so much now, but there was a time in which I spent more time at work around those people than I did at home with my own family. And I'm convinced that the people with whom you work day in and day out are those with which you can have the greatest impact with your testimony. And what you say and do, or what you don't say and don't do, will speak volumes about your life. I got to move on. But it gets harder here. Not only do we hinder or hurt our fragile testimony, by getting into sin or by not obeying rules and laws given, but also by failing to discern what we say. Ask Peter. Didn't we read that this morning in our Bible reading? Ask Peter what happened to his testimony when three times he was asked, aren't you one of them? Aren't you a follower? And three times he denied the Lord and finally went into a filthy mouth fit. By failing to guard our testimony, by discerning what we say, read the book of James, what he says about the tongue. Oh, it's just a little member, isn't it? Oh, but what a great fire that little member. Oh, what great harm, what great cause. On the other end, what great joy, what great peace, what great glory may be done by that little tongue. I don't know of any quicker way to hurt or hinder our testimony than by the words that fall from our mouths. I know that I'm probably too hard on people, and I suppose each one of us have particular things with which we judge men and women. But I don't understand men and women who say that they can have been saved for years and years and still talk like a filthy mouth sailor. I don't understand that. And give no thought to the words that fall from their lips. When God changed your heart, it should have changed your tongue. When God changed you from the inside, it will make a difference on the outside, and it will change how you speak. I know that most everyone, could I say everyone's going to slip up now and again. But I also know that using foul language is one of the quickest and most devastating ways to destroy your testimony. You can usually, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have to talk to someone very long before in my mind, and maybe I'm too hard to judge and too quick to judge, I'm sure that I am, but I don't have to talk to someone very long before I get an idea whether or not they know the Lord. And not only is it by the filthy language, but it's by hard language, hard talking. Not talking the way a Christian ought to talk, and here's where I often struggle and fail. Not just being clean in what we say, but being kind in what we say. It's easy to snap when you're attacked. But we need, even in those difficult moments, to guard our testimony. Why? Because it's fragile, and then because it's valuable. What's your testimony worth to you? What would you trade it for? Would you trade your testimony for a few dollars? Many of God's saints, many people do. The Christian in the workplace will take things that do not belong to them, and by doing, they hinder and hurt their testimony. Is your testimony worth a little bit of money? People ruin a testimony by robbing God and robbing men. People ruin their testimony not only because of a failure to give what belongs to God, but also by failing to show forth a little bit of patience and long-suffering. Is your testimony worth a little extra money? Is it worth a little extra time? Is it worth enduring some things that you shouldn't have to? I've heard too many good people say something like this. I'm just not going to let people walk all over me. And I understand what's meant when people say that. And I know a lot of times they don't mean it as hard or harsh as it comes out. And I know that every one of us have a boiling point, and sometimes we get awfully close to that boiling point. But I'm awfully glad that Jesus never felt that way. Never did he do anything wrong. Never did he deserve the cruel and wicked treatment that was given to him, but never did he complain about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to look right here with me, we'll read a few verses. What's your testimony worth? What's it worth? Well, is it worth enduring some things? Because if your testimony is valuable to you, you're going to endure some things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says this. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. And we may make a present day application that that is speaking of bosses and employees. And it says here that we are to be subject to them with all fear, and not only to the good, but also to the forward, or to the bad. So, well, you don't understand. My boss is mean, he's hard, he's cruel. Yeah, I do understand about some of that. I've lived through some of that. They don't care about me, all they care about is money. I understand that. I've lived through some of that. Guard your testimony. And if it's valuable to you, that means sometimes you're going to have to put up with things you should not have to put up with. You say it's not fair. I'll agree. A lot of times it's not fair. But God will deal with that. That's God's business. God will make it fair one day. Right now, what is our testimony worth to us? For this is thankworthy, verse 19, if a man for conscience toward God, not because of your affection for men, but because of your conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, friends, you hear me. As long as we live with people, people will mistreat us sometimes. That's all there is to it. And sometimes we'll mistreat others. Is that not so? But if we are careful to guard our testimony, and if we greatly value our testimony, then sometimes we're just going to have to endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Verse 20 says this, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? If you do something wrong and you're chastened for that, well, that's just what you should do. However, he goes on to say, but if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. And there's that soldier on the wall with you, patience, long-suffering. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In other words, they did him wrong, but he quietly endured it. And that's one of the most difficult things for me. I can't speak for everyone that a child of God will ever have to do. But if we'll guard our testimony, that's one of the things. Sometimes you're just going to have to bite your lip. That's all there is to it. What's worth more? You being right, you getting even, or your testimony? That's a practical question. It's a hard question. What means more to you? Coming out on top? Coming out even? Settling the score? Or doing like Christ did and guarding your testimony? It's valuable. It's the only one you have. If everyone treated you the way they should treat you, then we'd be in heaven and not here. But as long as we're here and not in heaven, you're going to have to endure some things. And that means put up with some things. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Sometimes you have to let people step on you. Sometimes that means that you will lead a life that is a submissive and subjective life, even in things that hurt you and your flesh. And that means having a conscience void of offense against God and men. Quietly putting up with some things, guarding your testimony. Not retaliating. When they threw accusations at him, he didn't fire back. When they threw fists at him, he didn't swing back. When they attacked him, he patiently endured as seeing him who was invisible. Nothing good ever comes when brothers collide. But finally, not all is bad news. Testimonies can be rebuilt. I believe a child of God can so hurt himself that he can ultimately ruin his testimony. And it may be that he can so hurt himself and harm himself that God will essentially be done with him or her. But in most cases, a testimony can be rebuilt. But remember, it's just like fine china. You can put it back together, but it'll never be the same. It takes time. It takes forgiveness. It takes spiritual maturity. It takes a willingness to admit wrong, even if another party will not, and to make amends. Rebuilding a testimony takes self-denial and sacrifice. Earlier I asked you if you could think of one person with whom that you had hurt or hindered your testimony. I asked you, could you think of a day in particular that you wish you could take back? Let me ask you, child of God, what have you done to make amends to that person or that day? Have you tried to rebuild your testimony? You say, well, they won't accept me. Maybe not, but have you tried? It will not easily be done. I do not hesitate to say that one of the most difficult conversations that you'll ever have is to tell somebody, I was wrong and I wasn't living like a Christian should have lived. I wasn't talking like a Christian should talk. Forgive me and let me try to tell you about what God has done in my life. That's a hard conversation to have. Have you ever had it? Lot, at best, ruined his testimony. But Peter, who denied the Lord thrice, would within a few days get up and preach. It can be rebuilt. David found repentance, and he began to write sweet psalms of praise again. It can be done, but it takes work, self-denial, sacrifices. It takes a grown Christian to go back and say, I wasn't acting like a child of God. Forgive me, and let me show you how I've grown. And then back that up, not in word, but in deed. You know, life would be much simpler if we never put ourselves in that situation, but we will, and we do. The question then remains, what shall we do to restore or rebuild? If it were possible, if it is possible, is there someone with which you need to go and try and restore your testimony? Is there something or someone with whom you have offended or hurt that has hindered your testimony? Something that you made crooked that now you need to try and straighten? Do that. And it won't be for your good. It won't be for your glory, but it'll be for your good. It'll be for God's glory and for your good. Peter went back. David went back. Shall we go back? Guard your testimony. Let me ask you, what is your testimony worth to you? And as I close right where I begin with this is one of the most practical day-to-day things that you'll face. Before this day's over, your testimony will be tried. I promise you. You know where it's tried a lot of times? You know where we frequently let our guard down at home? Frequently we let our guard down at home. And there should be a place of refuge. There should be. But we need to be reminded that even at home, we need to guard our testimony. Friends, family, and loved ones demand the same reception as strangers. All right. I thank you for your time and your attention today.